Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Good morning to our listeners along the lines on Radio Alabama WYEA 106.5 covering all of Talladega County and up in the river region covering Mark Lassiter's favorite place in the world, Lake Martin, the lake 105.1, covering about 48,000 acres of beautiful, beautiful green water. And I know, Mark Lassiter, you probably covered 300, because you didn't go very far, because you caught so many fish that you wanted to stay as far away from the authorities as you could.
Absolutely. I was hiding and ducking.
I heard that.
No, we had a good time. Brooks put me on some fish, and we had a really, really nice time. If my buddy Matt Mathis is listening, thank you for letting us stay at your place, and that was really, really, really kind of you. And we had a great time. It was a great time. Got to spend an entire day on the lake with my son.
And that's great.
You just can't beat that kind of thing, you know, especially when you got him 4-0, and I got 4 bass in the boat, and he ain't caught one yet. And so, I smarted off, and guess what?
Yep.
And it was 5-4 before I knew what was happening.
And Corey LeBounty, welcome back from parts unknown, but we're glad to have you here. I say that knowing where you were, but at the same time, it is parts unknown to me.
It's 52 weeks out of the year, the Prep Sports Report. You got to love it on Saturday mornings, and it's that springtime to where if you haven't got your spring cleaning done, you can go ahead and take some time out today and enjoy this lovely weather and support high school athletics.
No doubt about it. We're going to give you some of the games that are going to be played, but we're going to run down some scores from yesterday. Mark, if you want to interject anything, just give me a tip, just like Corey. Let's start in 7A yesterday. Auburn defeated Enterprise 3-2 and 13-2 in 7A. Baker and Fairhope split. We'll give you that if game today a little bit later. Also in 7A, Bob Jones defeated Gadsden. Central of Phoenix City and Prattville split. Florence defeated Huntsville, so they will advance in 7A. McGill Tulin, we'll talk to Tim Becker a little bit later on today. I would imagine they threw Chandler Best in that first game, and McGill Tulin defeated Theodore 6-0 and 13-7 to advance. Oak Mountain and Hewitt Trustful split. Vestavia and Hoover split up in Birmingham. And boy, I'm going to tell you, if you listen to us in the Birmingham area, you'll want to be out there today to watch those two teams collide. In 6A, Benjamin Russell advanced. Mark, they defeated Northview of Dothan 2-0 and 7-5. Faith Academy split with Chelsea 2-1 and 7-2. Gardendale advanced over Hartsell. Hillcrest to Tuscaloosa. Mark Garner, former Daphne star. And, he's done a great job at Hillcrest of Tuscaloosa. Played one of our dear buddies, Brett Bowell. And Hillcrest of Tuscaloosa goes back to Tuscaloosa, a big winner. They defeat Sarah Land 12-1 and 5-1. Homewood and Hazel Green split. Hueytown and Buckhorn. Hueytown advances. Pell City and Coleman, they split. Pell City 4-3 and Coleman 7-1. In Class 5A, this is some bad news for the local folks here. Bibb County and Charles Henderson split. Boaz advanced over Etowah 5-4 and 6-2. Briarwood Christian, boy, they got our number, guys. They took care of us in tennis, and they come down here and they defeat us in baseball. Briarwood Christian wins the first game 12-10, and they defeat UMS Wright 7-1 in the second game. Briarwood Christian advances. Chilton County and Beauregard split. Madison Academy advances with a 13-3 and a 7-6 win over Moody. Southside of Gadsden and Russellville split. Springville defeats East Limestone 10-0 and 5-4. And the Sylacauga Aggies, let me hear it. I can hear you all the way from WYEA out there on Moats Road in Sylacauga. I can hear it. Sylacauga comes to Mobile and defeats the St. Paul Saints 4-3 and 7-0. Sylacauga Aggies advance in Class 5A 21-7. Congratulations to the Sylacauga Aggies. In Class 4A, Brooks advanced over Cherokee 11-0 and 11-4. Fayette County advanced over North Jackson 10-2 and 5-2. Haleyville advanced over DAR. Mark, you know where that is. DAR. Yeah, right on the mountain. Haleyville 3-2 and 12-0 as Haleyville advances in 4A. Hopeful and Lamp split. Mobile Christian and American Christian split. Sipsy Valley. Boy, they split with the defending 4A state champion.
I know it.
Yeah, Sipsy Valley 2-1 in the first game. Andalusia comes back 2-1 in the second. Our good buddy, boy, that kind of surprises me a little bit. That takes me back a little. Ken Whittle up at Trinity. His Trinity Presbyterian team advances. They defeat Hanley of Roanoke 5-2 and 4-0. Congratulations to our buddy Kenny Whittle in Class 3A. Boy, what a great job Troy Brown has done over at Bayside. They split with Gordo. Bayside splits. Gordo wins first game 9-3. Bayside comes back and wins the second one 3-2. Lauderdale and Piedmont split. Opp advances over St. James 9-4 and 5-0. Phil Campbell and Hansville split. Providence Christian, who's good in everything. I'm just telling you right now, Providence Christian out of Dothan defeats Montgomery Academy 14-0 and 13-0 in 3A. T.R. Miller and Hale County split. Westminster Christian advances over Vinemont 15-5 and 16-6. Sylvania falls to Winfield. Winfield advances. Boy, that is something. See how that goes. Winfield 6-4 and 9-4. Class 2A, Ayrton advanced over Laverne. Cedar Bluff splits with Southeastern Blount. Decatur Heritage moves on 13-11 and 14-4 over Summerton Christian. G.W. Long advances. Kevin Raley will be a little bit happier now. G.W. Long wins 22-3 and 15-1, so they advance. Ranburn and Leroy down here in southwest Alabama, they split. Red Bay advances over Sulligent 7-6 and 13-8. Cottage Hill has a tough one yesterday. Boy, what a great year they've had out at Cottage Hill.
They have.
I mean, they've had some kind of great year. But Thorsby comes to town and defeats them 12-1 and 12-2. Westbrook Christian advanced over Section 13-1 and 14-0. In Class 1A, Brantley advances over Billingsley. Brantley's good every year in every sport that there is. 11-5 and 13-3. Donahue and Athens Bible split. Heritage Christian defeats Waterloo 9-1 and 20-11. Holy Spirit in Red Level. Holy Spirit advances 9-6 and 10-5. Millery advances over South Lamar 12-1 and 5-2. And Spring Garden advances over Faulkner 13-0 and 11-0.
Where in Spring Garden? Is it on a mountain? Is it on Sand
Mountain?
It's over.
I want to say it's over close to Pell City in that area, but
I don't know off the top of my head.
Here's the Saturday games as we line them up.
Fairhope, be some good ones. Today,
yeah, in 7A, Fairhope's at Baker at noon. Central of Phoenix City is at Prattville at 1 p.m. Oak Mountain is at Hewitt-Trussville at noon, and Vestavia is at Hoover at 2 today. In class, so, well, I'm going to tell
there
you
won't
right
be
now,
any whooping in that
no,
game.
No, they won't. The post office won't make any money because those two don't send each other greetings, I can promise you. In class 6A, Chelsea is at Faith Academy at 1 o'clock today. Hazel Green is at Homewood at 11 a.m., and Pell City is at Coleman at 2 p.m. In 5A, Charles Henderson is at Bibb County, south side of Gadsden, and that Bibb County game's at 1 o'clock over in Centerville. You know, you can't stop at that place that we used to stop at in Centerville all the time, a barbecue place there.
It's closed?
It's closed. It's gone.
Really?
Yeah. That was like an institution. No, it was an institution. I think
Coach Bryant even made that popular. He'd stop in there a time or two when he'd ride up down out in the country.
Well, I don't know if you better say that since he loved Dreamland so much, but that's... Of course, we love Dreamland, too, but you're right. He did. That's exactly right. Now that you mentioned that.
I think
that
he found there was a story told. I think it's – I don't know if it's at that barbecue spot or another. I've got to find that story where he recruited a kid, like, forever ago, and then, like, 25 years later came back through there, and that kid's daddy still remember and gave Coach a hat. Had his picture up in the place. It's really kind of a neat story.
I'm trying to think of the name of that place.
I can't think of it.
One of our listeners will tell us the name of that barbecue place in Centerville. But anyway, Charles Henderson, Troy is at Bibb County today at 1 o'clock. Southside of Gaston at Russellville at 1. Beauregard at Chilton County at noon. And 4A, Lamp is at Hopeville going to Slap Out. Lamp is at Slap Out to play Hopeville at 1:30. American Christian and Mobile Christian. I think we're going to have Corey going to have Mobile Christian's head coach on today. American Christian's at Mobile Christian at noon today. Andalusia is at Sipsey Valley at 1 p.m. Gordo is at Bayside Academy at noon. I'm sure Mark Laster will be there tending hut there. Piedmont's at Lauderdale County at 1. Phil Campbell at Hansville at 1. T.R. Miller at Hale County at noon. And 2A Southeastern at Cedar Bluff at 1. Ranburn at Leroy at noon. And in Class 1A, Athens Bible is at Donahoe at 4 p.m. in Anniston today, where Donahoe is located. Now, when we come back, you get to listen to these other guys, and I'm going to be quiet as we talk a little bit about soccer and talk to some of the local coaches who are championship coaches right here on PSR and Radio Alabama.
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. This is your big day.
This is your big day, too, for a lot of those high school athletes. We're going to give you some boys soccer right now. You have to listen to me a little bit more. We just had the first round games for Class 6A and Class 4A, 5A were played throughout the state on Friday, so we'll give you the first round playoffs there. In Class 4A, 5A, Springville defeated Lincoln 3-1. East Limestone defeated Madison Academy 5-0. West Morgan 1, Arab 0, Gunnersville 2, Russellville 0. Look at the Sylacauga Aggies again. Here we go. And boy. Here's the boys. Sylacauga 2, American Christian 1. Congratulations to the Aggies. Chilton County, this is boys soccer, by the way. Chilton County 4, Sipsey Valley 0. Lamp 3, Marbury 0. Montgomery Academy 8, Hopeville 1. Andalusia 3, Faith Academy 0. UMS Wright 3, Carroll 0. In Class 6A, Pinson Valley 2, Gardendale 0. Homewood 8, Bessemer City 0, McAdory 2, Shades Valley 1, Columbia 3, Buckhorn 1, Randolph 3, Hazel Green 0, Chelsea 5, Hillcrest Tuscaloosa 0, Stanhope Elmore 1, Opelika 0, Benjamin Russell, Mark moves on in boys soccer 4, Calera 2, Eufaula 2, Park Crossing 1, Northview of Dothan. Boy, this is their last year, as everybody knows now. Yeah. Northview playing all their last games as a school called Northview. Of course, they merged with Dothan High and become, I think, Corey, they're going to be called the Dothan Wolves, aren't they?
They are.
Dothan Wolves. Smitty Grider, our buddy Smitty's an athletic director and head football coach there. Northview defeats Carver Montgomery 10-0. And final game in boys, Baldwin County 4, Sarah Land 1. We'll move to the girls in Class 4A, 5A, Arab 5, Russellville 0, Sylacauga 7, Demopolis 1, American Christian 2, Childersburg 1, Trinity 6, Marbury 0, Montgomery Academy 14, Hopeville 0, and Carroll of Ozark 2, UMS Wright 1, Faith Academy 10, Charles Henderson 0, and in Class 6A, Gardendale 10, Pinson Valley 0, Homewood 16, can you imagine that? Look at this, y'all. Gardendale scores 10, they score 10 in soccer, and Homewood scores 16. I didn't think I'd ever see that day. Shades Valley 2, Hueytown 1, Buckhorn 4, Athens 1, Randolph 4, Hazel Green 1, Albertville and Coleman. We don't have a score on that one, but Chelsea defeats Hillcrest Tuscaloosa 10-0 in girls soccer. Northridge 4, Pelham 1, Opelika 7, Wetumpka 0, Daphne 4, Sarah Lynn 0. Sarah Lynn had a tough day yesterday, guys.
They did.
I'm going to tell you right now, you don't see that very often from Sarah Lynn. They just had a tough day, of course, both in baseball. Brett Boutwell's done such a great job over there. Mark Garner comes in with the Hillcrest Tuscaloosa team and sweeps Sarah Lynn. That's two good baseball teams. Hate to see those guys go out. Guys, what's going on in your world? Corey, what's going on with you? We hadn't seen you in so long. I think we're having a family reunion this morning.
Just enjoyed the spring sports that are going on. Opportunity to go out and support high school baseball at numerous locations yesterday. You take a look at Bayside Academy playing their game 3. Fairhope, Baker having an opportunity to play their game 3. And then tough day yesterday along the Gulf Coast. As you just mentioned, Saraland goes down, Cottage Hill goes down, UMS Wright goes down. Congratulations to Sylacauga. Anytime you travel on the road and are able to defeat a great Andy Robbins St. Paul's team, that's a tough feat to do. And again, you just so much going on as far as whether it's softball, whether it's baseball, whether it's soccer. I know the tennis sectionals just finished up. And
Tennis we'll be, State just
tennis
finished
State,
up. Yeah.
We'll be talking about that a little later on as well. As again, when you're talking about historic runs, anytime you can win one state championship, it's very impressive. But when you start talking about in volleyball at Bayside Academy winning 16 and 17 in a row, the run that UMS Wright's girls tennis program has put on is second to none. So just out enjoying these spring sports. And this week, high school football will be in the air as the pads will be popping here by midweek as a lot of schools get ready to start their football spring training programs and actually putting the pads on, preparing for those mid-May spring games.
You know, today we're going to talk to Tim Becker a little later on, but I want to talk about a young man over at Theodore who has just been I'm talking about one of the bright spots over there for Theodore High School, a young man by the name of Hunter Tillman. Hunter Tillman has played just about everything at Theodore for the last couple of years. I know he played basketball for 2 years. He's a key member of the football and baseball teams. He's one of the captains of the baseball team. I know Travis Williamson out there just thinks the world of Hunter Tillman. We don't get a chance to talk about him nearly as much. He's a 5'8", 160-pound young man. He started on the mound yesterday for Theodore against Southern Miss signee Chandler Best, and we all know what kind of baseball player Chandler Best has been for Tim Becker over there. But I'm going to tell you, Hunter Tillman is what high school sports are all about. And, you know, we just need to recognize that young man. He's 5-1 this season. He's got a 2.20 ERA. He's pitched about 45 innings. He's only allowed 35 hits and 14 runs, struck out 30 batters. He's hitting .360 at the plate. He's got a 600% on-base percentage. He's stolen 24 out of 25 bases and holds a Theodore career record for stolen bases with 95. Just wanted to mention that young man because as we go through looking at these student athletes, we sometimes overlook some and miss some. But Hunter Tillman is a guy that has just been a phenomenal young athlete for the Theodore Bobcats, and we just wanted to recognize him because he's a good one. He's a good one, and he does it the right way, and we're mighty proud of him. And I know he had a tough loss yesterday in that first game. We wish him nothing but the best of luck today as they play. I guess they play McGill again today, right?
No, McGill did eliminate
them. Did they win in a doubleheader?
They
swept them.
They did sweep them.
Okay. So, well, he's had a great career, and that's that's a tough way to go out. But you go out against the Chandler Best, a lot of teams go out. And Fairhope today, Fairhope's at Baker. You know, it's a sad time, Mark. You mentioned that in the Faith segment a couple of weeks ago when you were talking about it's a sad day for a lot of high school athletes as they play their last game and they move on toward graduation. But, you know, there's a lot of great memories, and Hunter Tillman will have a lot of great memories as he leaves Theodore High School.
You know, you were talking about that, Rick, about how it's the last. Phil Lazenby does something every year, which, and he does it a lot during the season, that I had forgotten about it. But when I think about what you just said about how, you know, this time of year we close out careers,
right?
Okay, we guys, whether either on a successful end of it or on a, you know, being defeated in the playoffs or what have you, you know, there's just a lot of things going on. But Phil, he comes in and he'll get all the guys, all the football players, and he'll talk to them, and he'll say, "The guys, look right here, look me in the eye," and he gets all their attention, and nobody's out. Then he snaps his finger. He says, "Be over," just like that.
That's a great point.
You know, and he does it, and you don't really think about it much in August.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think about it. But then as the season rolls through and you get into October, and then when you get to the last weeks of the season, especially in the playoffs, he'll do it every day.
Yeah.
So it'd be over just like that. And what he's trying to say is play every minute as best you can play it because you don't know when it's all going to be over. It's a sad and yet joyful time because you know even as the one season ends, another door opens and kids move on to another part of their life, you know, whatever that may be. And we're going to talk about that when we have a few minutes. I want to talk about that. Hunter Slater, yeah. I got to tell y'all something he did the other night. I don't know if y'all know, he had quite a night.
Three home runs,
eight yeah. runs batted in. Just a little thing about – and the reason you know, first of all, Hunter's close to my heart. Good friends with my son, Landon, where I got to coach him a little bit when he was in high school. Moreover than that, he is one fine young man.
And there's so many of those like yes. the Hunter Slaters out there in high school sports that you don't ever really get a chance to talk about. Corey does a great job of doing those personal interest stories.
Yeah.
And he's done it throughout the years. I do want to mention a young lady from Fairhope that we've mentioned on here before. Fairhope's Aaliyah Johnson. She had a perfect game in fast pitch softball through six innings, finished with a no-hitter. Fairhope defeated Sarah Lynn 6-0 earlier this week. She struck out 12 and didn't walk a batter.
Goodness gracious.
Isn't that something? They improved. Fairhope improved to 34-3. There's a huge, huge girls or ladies softball, fast pitch softball tournament at the Pleasure Island Showdown in Gulf Shores this weekend. If you're down around the Gulf and you can hear us down there, and I know you can loud and clear, go by and check out the Pleasure Island Showdown there in the Gulf Shores Softball Complex. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5, the PSR Radio Network in Radio, Alabama.
Sports Report is brought to you by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
Jack and Diane painted a picture of my life and my dreams. Suddenly this crazy world made more sense to me. Well, I heard it today and I couldn't help but sing along.
All right, you can go down to see Kenny tonight. He'll be at the wharf. Tell you the best thing to get on that big old Ferris wheel, just go round and round, and you got a ringside ticket. You don't have to pay to get in. I guess they wouldn't want me to say that.
No.
But you can get it, and especially if that Ferris wheel will stop you at the top. You got a 50-yard line seat right there to watch Kenny Chesney at the wharf. I know you'll have a good time, and he's always a good time. One of the friends of high school sports is Kenny Chesney. We welcome him to the Gulf Coast, and I know you'll have a great time there. I'll tell you a guy that had a great time yesterday. He always has a great time when he's on the baseball field. Is Tim Becker. Tim Becker, of course, played at South Alabama, was in the New York Yankees organization. Boy, I had the pleasure of getting to see him play during his professional days, and boy, what a treat it was, and what a joy it is to have him here with us in Mobile and to be a part of McGill Toolan. He does such a great job there. Everywhere he's been, he's got a great fan base from UMS Wright. He coached there for several years, and people love him there. Everywhere he goes, people love him because of his infectious personality and the passion he has for children and the game of baseball. And yesterday, the McGill Toolan Yellow Jackets defeated Theodore 6-0 and 13-7, and I would imagine it was a pretty doggone good pitching matchup yesterday between Chandler Best and Hunter Tillman in the first game. I would have loved to have seen that, but we've got Tim this morning. Tim, good morning and congratulations, pal.
Good morning, Rick. I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on the show this morning.
Tim, when you look at your victory yesterday over Theodore, it's an opportunity for you to send out your best, and that best being Chandler Best, a young man who's signing with Southern Miss. And when he goes out, he's a left-handed thrower for you. When he gives you that complete game in game number one, how does that help you and kind of change the strategy moving forward into game two?
Well, I mean, anytime, you know, and again, that's, you know, everything we have to do is try to put our players in a situation to be successful. And of course, Chandler does a lot of that on his own. And of course, Spencer Hadley, who threw game two, is the same way. You know, they work hard to win. They do it on the field. But, you know, with Chandler winning game one yesterday, and you mentioned about Hunter Tillman for Theodore throwing two, what a great player he is, and just a competitor. And I'll be honest with you, with both of them yesterday, that's what you saw. You know, and again, it ended up 6-0. We were able to score some runs early on Theodore, but just a great game to watch. And again, they both those players are very competitive, and they show that on the mound. And of course, Chandler Best is been one of our better competitors the last three and a half years that he's played for us.
When you look at your schedule, you're now 25-7, and you'll either face Prattville or Central of Phoenix City in the next round. Talk about either one of those opponents and having the advantage now to go ahead and scout and prepare for either one of these teams.
Yeah, I think Coach Walker and I are going to make a trip up there here in just a little bit. We're going to leave from Mobile and head up to Prattville and see that game. And, of course, I know Kevin Hall pretty well. The head coach at Prattville. I'm sure he'll expect to see us up there as well. But we'll go up there and see what we have. I know they've played, both teams have played some teams locally here. So, and again, they got great pitching staffs. And again, you know, yesterday was the games were relatively low scoring. I think Prattville won the second game 8-2 or something like 8-3. But I know game one was a really tight, close game. And, you know, it'll be a great game to watch. And like I said, we'll try to gain any kind of advantage that we can get, you know, by watching them play today.
Now, we've talked about all season long about your accomplishments and how well your schedule has been put together and how that benefits you in this winter go-home situation. You've been blessed with some wonderful weather. Will it be a situation for your McGill, Tulane and Yellow Jackets this week to where when you complete your scouting report, how do you come back and prepare your team once you've assessed and got your scouting report done?
You know, we pretty much have a schedule as far as next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I'll be honest with you, we'll probably leave Thursday, probably sometime after lunch, head up towards wherever we're going, and we'll probably practice at another another high school field somewhere in Montgomery or somewhere up there, you know, in preparation for this. We have, you know, a schedule where, in all reality, right now you're all the way through your season, and now you're in the playoffs. You just, you know, you're not, you don't want any of your guys to get hurt. You know, you try to be careful what you do. But one thing we do like to do is put pressure on them in practice. Because when you get to playoff time, that's a lot of times what you're going to see. You're going to have to come up, bases loaded, two outs, you know, and you got to be able to execute and somehow or another battle the pitcher and get a base hit or, you know, or make a play defensively or for a pitcher, make a pitch on a 3-2 count. So, and we'll have a practice schedule set up this week where we kind of put pressure on our guys too to make it, you know, feel more realistic to what you're going to see when we play next week.
It's a situation where you do get that extra day of rest, and it's beneficial when you are able to complete that sweep. Who will you be putting on the mound next week to face either one of these opponents?
Well, you know, Spencer Hadley and Chandler Best have been are 1-2s all year. So, you know, of course, playing a doubleheader next Friday, you know, we'll kind of see how that works. And it's possible we could switch them. You know, we could throw Spencer Hadley game one and feel very, very good. And because he's done a great job for us this year as well. So that's kind of what we got to see. And I'll be honest with you with the schedule. I know you mentioned it. Our schedule's been very, very difficult this year. And again, we played Bob Jones. I know they advanced again, and they won very easily. They're a very, very good team. And, of course, Auburn advanced again. And, of course, then Fairhope and Baker, they'll play game three today at Baker High School. So that's, you know, so – but, again, we – those two will go 1-2 in some form or fashion. It's just – and, again, we did it when we played Bob Jones. We switched, and we threw Spencer Hadley game one, and – we beat Bob Jones 6-4 that game. And the next game, Chandler came back and threw game two. So, you know, we'll kind of figure out how it'll go, but one of them will go one, and then the other one will go two.
It's an opportunity for your bats last night to come alive and make a run. I know you had to be happy with the offensive production because sometimes in the postseason you're really struggling and it comes down to maybe that one or two runs or one or two key plays getting guys on bases that make the difference in the postseason. So I know you had to be happy with the offensive production.
Well, you know, the great thing about high school baseball is, too, you know, a lot of high school teams are strong 1-4, 1-5 in their lineup. They're normally your best hitters. But last night we got a lot of production, too, from our, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys. And, you know, that's truly what you have to have happen to be a great team. You know, if you're going to keep advancing through the playoffs, you got to be strong 1-7, 1-8, 1-9. I mean, you got to be able to, you know, get production throughout your lineup. And yesterday, I know Jacob Huff had a great game for us. He had 3 hits and 3 RBIs in game 2. One of those was a triple. And again, we had a production from Jennings Clayton and Matthew Glover and some guys that are, you know, further down the lineup. And, you know, you're not going to get production from the same guys every day. That's what you got to do. You got to be able to get production throughout your lineup, and it might be different guys every game.
You know, Tim, as you look at the brackets, and Prattville and Central Phoenix City play today at 1 o'clock. I think they're playing in Prattville. Yep. Do you go? Do you send somebody? Do you do what like we do in football? If you're playing on a Thursday night, you go see somebody on Friday. Has he talked about that? Okay. Well, I stepped out and I didn't hear. But
you're right. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was joking with my wife this morning because, you know, she said, "What are we going to do today?" And I went, "Well, yeah. I know what I'm doing. I'm going up to Prattville."
Yeah.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, of course, she got that little frown on her face, and you know, of course, she'll find something to do and that type of thing. But Coach Walker and I are going to leave this morning. We're going to go up there and watch the game and kind of evaluate both teams. We know they're both great teams, you know, but sometimes when you put eyes on them and you can see some of the stuff that they do, maybe a first and third defense or, you know, it's the kind of stuff you're looking for. Just for, you know, and obviously you want to see what they look like, you know, at the plate and so
right.
on. So.
You know, Tim, you know, you made a point a minute ago, and it's just something I don't think folks really think about a lot. Coaches' wives are a special breed of woman. They really are. And it's, you know, just what you said right then, because she was just saying, what are we going to do today? You know, and you still got work to do. It takes a special woman to be a coach's wife.
Well, and Jolie and I have been married for over 30 years.
Forever.
And,
forever.
She's best friend. She knows what we do.
Right.
And, you know, and of course, when us, you know, we were just joking about it now, but Coach Walker is the same way.
Yep.
You know, he's not 30 years old. His kids aren't 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. They're out. You know, they're, you know, graduated from college. They're working, doing stuff now. So it's a little bit easier for us to go. We said something about one of our other coaches, Coach Hall, about going. Well, they have twins.
Yeah.
You know, they have young twins that are just a year and a half, 2 years old. And you know, I told Coach Hall, I said, don't worry about it. You know, we'll go do this because, again, it's just part of our job. Like you said, it's part of our job.
You know, one of the things that baseball coaches that I know and know well, they know their brackets. I mean, they know from top to bottom who the best baseball teams are and who the, you know, because you talk to scouts who come in and watch you. That's one of the things, Tim. Have you had a lot of these bird dogs come in and watch you play and check Chandler out and some of your other kids?
Well, we've been pretty busy again this year you know, even college scouts.
Right.
You know, we've had Auburn down twice this year because, you know, that's where Nathan LaRue's going
right.
to go to college.
Right.
And, you know, we've had different coaches. I know when they played South Alabama this year, they came over and watched our game and came in the dugout and, you know, and kind of just said hey to Nathan. you know, throughout the year, I mean, we've had a lot of scouts and a lot of professional scouts
right.
at our games. And, you know, that's, you know, and of course, they make comments, too, about somebody that may have a pitcher or something like that. But
right.
again, like you said, you know, it's, you know, the word gets out pretty quick, man.
No doubt. And it doesn't hurt to have a guy like Dan Jennings to spread the word about Mobile baseball in the big leagues either. That's another big
absolutely.
Thing, too.
Absolutely, yes.
Hey, Tim, thanks a bunch. Have a safe trip to the River Region.
Good luck to you,
Take
buddy.
Take care, buddy.
Good luck, Coach.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Tim Becker, head baseball coach at McGill-Tulin. Nothing like giving a repeat question, is it? What a host. We'll be back with more PSR on Radio Alabama.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
You know, I think everybody who knows me knows the affinity and love I have for Meredy Jones. And I wouldn't even let Meredy come on before we let Boz Skaggs play. So I don't know what that tells you about me and Boz Skaggs, but...
Boy, that's kind of serious.
I know it. That's pretty serious. I had a chance to see Boz, 74 years old at the Sanger, Mark. Don't you make any comments about that, because I know what you're thinking. But that's two of my heroes, Boz Skaggs and Meredy Jones. Meredy, I wouldn't preempt you for too many people, but I think all the folks here know that Boz Skaggs is near and dear to my heart, but you're a little bit above him.
It absolutely is.
And, well, there's a reason. I mean, you know, beauty before the beast. That's always, anytime we go somewhere to play tennis, we always take the beauty and the beast. And so,
we definitely know who the beast is.
Well, there's no doubt about that. So you know, we often talk about domination and dynasties in sports, and we don't have a whole lot of them anymore because of parity and everything in all of our athletics and high school athletics. But if there is a dominant high school tennis program in the state of Alabama right now, it is the UMS Wright Lady Netters. I can tell you that. And the lady who is the backbone of those young ladies and who is the mother to those young ladies away from their own families and is their confidant and their advisor and everything that she can be, it's Meredy Jones. And her Lady Netters won the 11th straight state championship, Mark and Corey, but the first 6A state championship in the history of UMS Wright. What an amazing accomplishment from an amazing group of young ladies. And Meredy, we are so, so, so very proud of you and thankful for the job that you do at UMS Wright, not only athletically, but academically. And it's a joy to have you on PSR.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and very excited about the win.
Well, and you know, as you went through this, as you moved up into 6A and your bracket, and really one of your toughest competition was somebody right there in your own region, right, your section, the St. Paul Saints. And as you go through this, you only have one singles winner to win a championship, but all of the other girls had great wins. But Martha Williams was a champion at number four singles, and then when you look at number two doubles,
number one doubles.
Tiana Dixon and Miss Sewell, they were the champions at number one doubles. So talk just a little bit about the tournament and some of your young ladies, because I know how proud you are of them.
Oh, I'm so proud of them. And I have to tell you, I mean, the competition was so tough, but like I said to the girls, they were saying 6A, and I said, well, you know what? If you can run 1 mile, you can run 2 miles. So if you can play 4 ends, it's still the same game, just a little bit extra. But the competition, Rick, was tough. And there were some solid teams, Northridge and Briarwood and St. Paul's and Decatur. I mean, there were a lot. We didn't know what to expect. But I have to say that after day one, I only had two left in the singles. We had probably the worst, it's just tough draw right off the bat. And I kept saying, it's been a good run. You heard me, I said it to you. It's been a good run. We've had a good time. And going into the doubles, we were 6 points behind. But I had all three of my doubles still in it. So on a wing and a prayer, the stars aligned, and some of those teams like Decatur lost some in the singles, and Briarwood and Northridge. And
did we lose our Meredy?
Win.
You know, Meredy, there's something I mean, Rick and I are talking about, and all of us do, Corey, as well. We talk about it a lot, about how success breeds success. And what you're talking about, as I hear you talk, that the girls kind of got, they were behind, and they were right in the middle of the tournament and looking at an uphill battle. But they've been in these big tournaments all their career. How does that help your girls, and what does it do for them mentally as they approach each match?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that was the key. They knew they had to have all three doubles wins or we didn't have a chance. They knew that, and I tell you what, my younger ones too felt the pressure, because the older ones, they wanted it, and especially my seniors, you know, they wanted it so much, and they were fighting. I mean, it was unbelievable. But they have it was a mindset. It was, we're going to do this, and we're going to block this out. We're going to talk to Meredy during the changeovers. We're going to stay focused. And I kept telling him, I said, you stay inside your own head. Because you're on this court, you don't worry about anything else. And you're right. They've set a bar for themselves through the program, through each other. And what I love about it, when I'm going to tell them, you need to hit the disc golf backhand, you need to do this, the first thing they say to me, what's so-and-so score? How are they doing? And I love that team effort. It's never all about me. It is always, how's everybody else doing? Are they okay? Are they doing all right? Because they know it's all about the team. And I think that is what sometimes separates them, because it's not, even though tennis is considered an individual sport, they are all about each other.
Right.
You know, Mary, when you look at your young ladies, and one of the things that I absolutely love about them is what you just said, is it's all about us. It's not about
right.
I. It's not about me. It's about us. And I hear that all through the year. Mary has a day called Wacky Wednesdays. Now, I'm up, and every other day is dead serious for her girls. But Wacky Wednesdays, I'm up there trying to do something to try to strategize or do something, teach my guys how to play Australian style doubles or something. They're having Wacky Wednesday. They're playing Grand Funk Railroad or whatever music they're playing, and I'm telling you, they're having a hoot. But it's,
and they dress up. Don't
they
forget.
Do.
We do neon. We do, you name it. We do it. You got to, and with girls in particular, as you know, I mean, you got to keep it fun. You got to keep them wanting to be together and wanting to be there. So
right.
If you do something out of the ordinary, it just kind of adds a little spark. And the girls have started getting into that, and they are so funny. They came up with Wacky Wednesday because they, you know, I said, we've got to do something. We've got to lighten it up a little bit. We need a little fun practice. And they get into this, and they start thinking of things. And then they all got on the phone and figured out what they were going to wear and the crazy socks. And we had music and, I mean, just had a ball.
Well,
that's what helps them.
And you do it. I mean, it's consistent. And before we leave, we only got about a minute here, but I want to call their names. Tiana Dixon, Audrey Sewell, Brooke Swain, Martha Williams, Mary Frances Wood, and Carol Murray. 6A state champions, and that it almost brings tears to my eyes. I see the sign on the entrance to the school. So proud and so happy. So well-deserved from you, Mary Jones.
Well, thank you. My little engine that could, and I could not be more proud. I'm one proud mama.
Well,
congratulations, Coach.
What a beautiful day. I hope you get to go play tennis. Have a great day, and please say hello to Terry for us. God bless
you. I'll do it. All right. Thank y'all so much. I appreciate the support.
Take care. 6A state champion,
awesome.
Merity Jones,
awesome.
UMS Wright Bulldogs. We'll be back with more right here on PSR and Radio Alabama.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
All right, welcome back to PSR on the Prep Sports Radio Network and Radio Alabama, coming to you live from Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, and brought to you each and every week, 52 weeks out of the year, by our good friends at Alpha. You know, when you go across the bay and you pull in right there in the heart of little Daphne, old Daphne, you go by Mancy's and Guido's and all those neat little places, and you get up there to Christ the King Church, you take a little right there and you ride down right down on the bay, and you find a beautiful small private school, Bayside Academy, that has really made a name for itself both academically and athletically. We talk a lot about the job that Phil Lazenby does, and we've talked a lot this spring about the job Troy Brown has done, and the guy that kind of makes the clock go round and round and makes it tick is the athletic director over there, Jamie Ferguson. And I know Mark and I, in our own conversations, Mark raves about the job that Jamie does. And, you know, we often don't talk about the job he does as a guy that runs a soccer program. I'll tell you right now, as Mark and I know very well, being an athletic director is a 25-hour-a-day job. Jamie Ferguson has done a great job there and continues to just do a great job in his second job as the soccer coach. So I don't know. Sometimes we get our priorities messed up as an athletic director, but Jamie's done a great job there with soccer. I think they played Thomasville on Tuesday there at Bayside. But, Jamie, thank you for taking some time out of your busy Saturday morning, and congratulations on another great year in athletics at Bayside Academy, and good luck to your soccer boys on Tuesday against Thomasville.
Well, thank you. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Wonderful, Coach.
We're great. We're good. Mark Laster sitting over here just beaming with pride. I'm going to tell you, anytime we talk about Bayside on here, he just lights up. So
he's a big part of it.
Well, talk just a little bit about this soccer team. You guys will play Tuesday, and I know that you're mighty proud of your kids.
Yeah, the boys have had a good season thus far. We've been unfortunate with a few injuries, kind of scattered throughout the season. But, we've got Thomasville this Tuesday. We've never faced Thomasville, and so we're not exactly sure what to expect, other than just a group of hardworking athletes that I've seen on the football field, I've seen on the baseball diamond, I've seen on the basketball court when they played us. So we'll have our work cut out for us, but we prepared well for it.
Coach, tell us about some of your kids on your team that you've had really have just come on this year and done a great job for you.
That's a tough one, Mark, because I've got a lot of good players, as you know. In goal, I've got two good goalkeepers that are challenging for the first spot on the team sheet. But you always start the season with an idea of how you're going to play, but it never ends up that way. So I made some moves early on in the beginning of the season, and I put Junior Sergi from midfield to forward, and that changed us. And in the process, I had to move. I moved Ty Ferguson from midfield to defence alongside Max Douglas, and then the combination of Sergi up front with Teal Cordy has been great. So I've got a lot of most of the players I just said that are young. They're only one senior, Max Douglas, but they're very hardworking and diligent, and they play well together.
Tell us a little bit about, we were talking last night at the baseball field. I was talking to Teal's dad about Joey Jones. I think he's one guy who's really come on for you this year.
Yeah, Joey's one of our younger players. He's an eighth grader. He's a very talented player, and he's slotted in at right back for us in defense and done a very good job. We have another eighth grader, Owen Delaporte, who's kind of knocking on the door. He isn't quite starting consistently, but he started two or three games in the last five here. So, and you just mentioned Teal. I mean, Teal's only a sophomore.
Right.
And this is his third season. He's pretty much a starter. And he's a very dangerous player for us. Started right back the first two seasons, and now he's kind of filling in the role of a right-sided forward for us. And I think he's got somewhere in the nature of 18 assists this season. Wow. And I think he's up in the 16, 17 goals this season, along with Sergi. I think Sergi's in the 16 goals. He's only got about 10 assists. We've got a great number of players like that. And then I think Trey Clements is injured right now. He's another sophomore. He's been out for the last, I think, 6 weeks. We're hoping to have him back probably the tail end of this upcoming week. And then also hopefully we get Ty Ferguson back, hopefully before the second round of the playoffs, if we can get past Thomasville.
We're speaking with Jamie Ferguson, the athletic director of the Bayside Academy Admirals, and they're having soccer. It's in full swing postseason play. But, Coach, I want to talk to you about the growth of soccer. You see soccer fields starting to pop up here in Mobile County. I know the soccer fields, there's a plaza over in Baldwin County as well. But what do you attribute to the growth of soccer? I know that a lot of younger kids from the ages of 4 to 7 are starting to get started in the grassroots programs. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I'm very fortunate. When I stopped playing, I was heavily involved in the soccer in this area in Baldwin County, and I just kind of fell on into that role. It was more kind of like a God opening doors that you don't even realize exist. and I started running the club in Fairhope about 15 years ago, and you know, within 2-3 years we outgrew that complex behind Fairhope High School, Mark, you know, founders.
Yes.
And it was just a great you know, what do I attribute it to? You know, I really don't know. It was kind of like a sport that was untapped in this area, and I'm going to kind of relate it to probably lacrosse right now in the state. And it's just one of those things that nobody was involved in heavily, and you know, we kind of just planted a seed. And I think I went from 56 players in my first year of starting the club, like running the club after Tom Bierstedt, to going to over 200, and then the recreation of Fairhope exploded into the 700s. And you know, now what's happened is the cities have, you know, looked at it and thought, hey, there's money to be made from sports tourism with all these tournaments. In my first tournament I put on in Fairhope, we only had 30 teams, and I mean, I was twisting arms to get people to come, ex-teammates from Louisiana bring their teams. And we went the second year I ran it, it was called the Halloween Black, we were already up in the 80s. And now, I mean, it's for the last 10 years, it's been capped at 128.
Good gracious.
And it's such an economic impact for the city that all these municipalities are, you know, arm wrestling to get the complex built the fastest, because they just know, you know, Bob Baumhauer said a long time ago, if you put butts in beds, you know, cities are really your best friends.
Coach, I just want to say good luck to you in your postseason play this week. And as the game of soccer continues to grow, just want to thank you for giving back to the young athletes each and every day, and your guidance at Bayside Academy as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on today, and wish all the teams in this area good luck in the playoffs.
Thanks, Jamie.
Yep. Good morning, guys. Have a good day.
All right, buddy.
Take care, Jamie. That's Jamie Ferguson, the athletic director at Bayside Academy. What a great job he's done, Mark.
He has done a great job, and he really cares about all the sports at Bayside Academy and really puts a lot of emphasis on making sure everybody has what they need. And that's, you know, that's what you got to have as an athletic director, and that's why I think Bayside's program is, since I've been there, I've just watched it grow in all of its sports. It seemed to be growing, and then when sports that are not growing, he puts an emphasis on making sure those get better.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to watching that grow over the, you know, the next few years, and as Jamie is at the helm.
You know, you mentioned that, and I wanted to mention something about UMS today. UMS today is having senior day, I think tomorrow. It's either today or tomorrow, and I'll have to check on that. I think it may be tomorrow, but anyway, UMS is having a senior day for their lacrosse team. Now, this is a club team right now, but Jamie mentioned lacrosse, and that's the next sport, guys. That's the next sport we're going to see. And yeah, we're going to talk more about that.
I think UMS and Bayside play May the 2nd.
Okay.
I think it's at Bayside at the 60. I think it's at the 64 complex.
Lacrosse. Okay. So,
yeah.
And that,
I think that's right.
Yeah, we'll try to get Brent on here pretty soon and talk more about that. But that's the next sport you're going to see. It's growing in leaps and bounds.
Absolutely.
All over the state and all over the Southeast. We'll be back with more PSR right here on Prep Sports Report Radio and Radio Alabama.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network. It's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines. Now, back to the show.
There's the boss. He's talking about some of those days back in high school.
Back in high school.
Back in high school with the boss. I can imagine what was going on in New Jersey in those days. You know, we often talk about some of our young athletes that go on and do great things at the next level, and one of those young athletes who has really gone on and shined is a young man that I know, Mark, you're fond of. All of us are very fond of Hunter Slater, the job that he did not only at Bayside Academy playing multiple sports, but now he's gone on to Southern Miss, and he had an incredible series of games in the last couple of weeks, but one in particular stands out against the University of New Orleans this past week.
That's right. The other night, Hunter was playing New Orleans. He mashed his way into the Southern Miss record books as the Golden Eagles battered New Orleans 15-2. Hunter drove in 8 runs with 3 home runs and a fielder's choice, tying records for homers and RBIs in a single game as Southern Miss won its 5th consecutive contest. Slater became just the 3rd player with 8 RBIs in a game, joining Tommy Davis from 1994, Fred Cooley in 1988. Hunter, who has hit 9 home runs on the season, became the 9th Golden Eagle to hit 3 home runs in a game and the first since Trey Cuevas in 2006.
And, you know, you mentioned another guy in that quandary of folks. You mentioned Tommy Davis played, if I'm not mistaken, played out at MGM, Mary Montgomery. And, boy, he's some kind of special baseball player and played out there for Leon Druckenmiller, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. I think you're right.
Tommy Davis was a heck of a baseball player. And his daddy, if I'm not mistaken, used to coach with us at UMS years and years ago. Boy, 2 special
anyway,
kids.
Congratulations to Hunter, and, man, we appreciate what you do, buddy.
Absolutely. What a fine young man.
Fine young man.
I'm telling you right now, one fine young man. Mobile Christian split 2 games yesterday with American Christian, and we've got Mobile Christian's head baseball coach, Tally Haynes, on with us. Tally, good morning, pal. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Doing great. Reigning 3A champs. You've always got that big dot on your chest, so it's always tough. But yesterday against American Christian out of Tuscaloosa, you won the first game 3-0 and then had a little tougher time in nightcap, falling 5-4. But today you'll throw the first pitch at noon. Talk just a little bit about yesterday and bring us up to date on today.
Well, Hunter Redding came out. He's kind of been our ace all year. He's a senior, and you know, he just committed to LBW, so he's had a great senior year, and he came out and just pitched great through 7-inning shutout baseball, and we played good defense. And game 2, we came out and jumped on him early. Ethan Hearn hit a 3-run homer, and they just didn't quit. They battled back and ended up beating us 5-4, which sets up today's game 3. So it should be an exciting day for us.
Coach, competitive balance has allowed you to go from 3A baseball to 4A baseball, and I know you have such a tough schedule when you put it together in the offseason to try to prepare, no matter whether your opponent is a 1A opponent or an 8A opponent in another state. Talk to us about how your scheduling has prepared you for this postseason and being in this type of situation, a win or go home game today.
Well, you know, we've had some games this year where we've took it on the chin and against some good people, and you know, you have to bounce back the next day. So if you play a schedule where you're used to winning and you just kind of always win, then all of a sudden when you get to the playoffs and you have some adversity and you have to go home and wake up and come back and play, if you haven't done that before, then it could be a little more difficult. So we try to play people that give us a hard time throughout the whole season, so that when we get to the playoffs, you know, we're kind of used to that.
We're talking to Tally Haynes, head baseball coach at Mobile Christian, who play a if game. We call it the if game today at noon on the campus of Mobile Christian. And when you look at this, Tally, one of the things that as you go through the season, you got your pitchers lined up in order, and you know who's 1, who's 2, and who's 3. And a lot of times when you get to game 3 in high school baseball, you got a potpourri of pitchers. You know, you throw a couple out there, 2 or 3 innings at a time, and do the best you can. Where are you guys in that? Where do you fit in there?
Well, we're kind of in the same boat. We've got 2 guys that have pitched a lot this year and had some success. But one of the tough things about playoff baseball is when you're sitting in game 1 or game 2 and maybe your starter's struggling a little bit, do you bring in your game 3 guy? You know, or do you say, okay, we got to hold a guy and make sure we have a guy for game 3 if we get there? So that's probably one of the toughest things for a high school coach when you get to the playoffs, is trying to figure out if you use your game 3 guy in relief in game 1 or game 2 and how that affects you. So, you know, but we have some guys left for today, and I know they will too, but we got 2 or 3 guys that can go out there and compete. I think we're in good shape.
One of the biggest things for you, I know somebody near and dear to your heart that you've really enjoyed coaching, is Mississippi State signee Ethan Hearn. He's a young man that's played for the Leopards for quite a long time, doing a wonderful job at his catching position. Talk to us about Ethan, everything that he's gone through, and what he means to your team and the Mobile Christian family.
Well, Well, he's our leader out there. You know, when you have a catcher that's your leader, that even adds even more to it. But he's a guy that he works hard. He works extremely hard. He's usually the first one to the ballpark and usually the last one to leave. And he really puts in the work. He's very talented in a lot of his aspects of his game. But he's really gone above and beyond what his talent is with his play on the field. And that makes the coach proud when a kid figures it out. He wasn't always that guy, but man, the last 2 or 3 years, he's really changed around how he works, and he's, you know, he has a lot of big goals that he wants to reach beyond high school, and he knows that he's gonna have to work his way to get to that point. So, you know, I'm just very proud of him. All the coaches here have seen him grow up, and you know, Ethan's a kid. He's been at Mobile Christian since he was 4 years old. So, you know, this is his home. He's always been here, and the teachers take pride in how he's grown up, and you know, so it's been great having him in our school.
Tyler, let me ask you something about Ethan. This is something that continues to make high school baseball shine to me. Talk a little bit about what he does and what he has done to get in this position, because everybody thinks that you got to go to all these camps and you got to play summer baseball, play 40 games of summer baseball. Kind of talk about what Ethan has done to get in a position for a baseball school like Mississippi State to offer him a scholarship.
Well, you know, initially schools like that, they see kids younger now. They see them right when they're in the 9th and 10th grade.
Right.
And they just, a lot of times they'll offer a kid based on his ability, you know, how he can throw and how he can hit. But if those kids don't work hard and don't have the character, then sometimes those opportunities, you know, for a kid like Ethan at Mississippi State, they kind of go away. So he's had to continue to work and continue to do the things that he needs to do to go to a school like Mississippi State. He went to a tournament this summer, and he really struggled with his receiving, you know, and a lot of the scouts had question marks about how he would be able to catch, if he would be able to catch, you know, professional baseball pitchers. And he heard that from the scouts, and he went to work. We have a hack attack machine that catchers really use a lot, and he spent hours and hours and just grinding out, you know, hot days in the summer and working on his receiving, and he's become a really good receiver. So he's not just out, you know, hitting batting practice and hitting home runs, and he's doing the little things that it takes for him to for him to become the player that he is.
Tally, we appreciate everything that you do and what you do for Mobile Christian. You guys have got one of the premier baseball programs in our area, and it's because of the leadership that you've provided. You and your assistants have done a great job there, and players like Ethan Hearn and Hunter Redding and Rashad Robinson, and those guys have just done a great job for you, as your whole team has, and good luck today against American Christian. We'll be pulling for you here at PSR.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
Take care. That's Tally Haynes, and well, he's a guy, guys, that's got professional experience. He's a guy that spent some time in the minor leagues, and you know, he learned the ups and downs of baseball.
And you know, we talked earlier in the show about competitive balance, about how it changes things, not only in baseball but in tennis as well. Ooh. Anytime you're able to go from 2A to 3A, 3A to 4A, and still have an opportunity to compete and be expected to still win the state championship, that speaks volumes of not only your coaches but your players and your administration that support you in that transition also.
That's well said. Well said, Corey. We'll be back with David from CNC Auto and Financial Services right here on PSR and Radio Alabama.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey LaBounty.
Hi, welcome back to PSR. Of course, the CNC financial and auto sales communication lines are wide open, and they're full of callers. And the first one is David.
How are y'all today?
From CNC. We're good, man.
Great,
how
David.
Are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Saw you sneaking in to get a hamburger yesterday.
Yeah, Yeah, I must have missed you in there. It's
quite a crowd. I didn't miss you. I saw you. I saw you going in to fill up that
ground. Not hard to miss.
No, it's good. What we got going on today, pal?
I'll tell you what. We have sold some inventory, and I am low. This week I will be out buying all I can. So
good.
If you've got a car or you're in the market and you've been to one of these big franchise dealers and you feel like you're being taken advantage of with your trade-in, come by and see me. Let me put a number on it. $500 if it's $500, it's $500. I can put more money in your pocket.
Tell them how they can find you now.
We are at 3150 Moffett Road. You can get us at cncfinancialautosales.com. Call us at 251-338-9019. And right now, our party bus has been moving all over. It's booked for the next couple weeks. Getting ready for football season, so if you want to go to an Alabama game, an Auburn game, a Saints game, now's the time to be booking up a trip.
All right, I want you to keep looking for me a van now. You know what I'm looking for. I need something about the 7th through the 9th of June. So we want to try to find something.
I am in the process.
All right, buddy. You take care, and we hope you'll go out and see the folks at CNC Auto and Financial. And great folks. Guarantee you they'll find what you don't have, and they'll bring it right to you. I can promise you that. Just ask for David. Take care, pal.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Thank you.
All right, man.
Take care. All right. Bayside Academy split a doubleheader yesterday against a pretty salty little Gordo team. They'll go to the complex today, and Coach Troy Brown. Who?
Scooter.
Oh, we're going to Scooter first. I'm sorry. I was going, yeah, Scooter, you got to go quick now. We got Troy Brown on the line from Bayside. What's going on, Scooter?
Hey, condolences to John Havlicek's staff, huh?
Yeah, congratulations to his family. I mean, condolences. You're right.
What a great player he was with the Boston Celtics, wasn't he?
He sure was. He's the best six man that ever played the game, according to history.
You know, he played football with the Cleveland Browns, too.
I didn't know that. You sure about that, Scooter?
He was drafted by the Browns in the 18th round.
And he played. Did he play or was he drafted?
He was drafted.
Okay. Didn't play, but he was drafted. I didn't know.
Mark, how you doing?
Doing well, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Corey?
Good morning, Scooter.
I'm your Saturday morning breakfast, ain't
it? Absolutely. Each and every Saturday morning.
You want Scooter to pop?
Please do.
Give it to us.
Thank you, Scooter.
Have a great week, buddy.
God bless you, buddy. Take care, pal.
Now let's go to Troy Brown, head baseball coach at Bayside. Mark, I know you guys are excited about the job Troy's doing.
Absolutely. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you all for having me on.
Well, we're glad to have you, buddy. Last night, I'll just give everybody a little quick recap. We're on spring break, and kids have been coming in and out, getting their workouts in with Coach. Lost the first game 9-3, and then battled back in the second game with a big 3-2 win. Tell us what happened, Coach.
I think in the first game, the moment probably got a little too big for us, and we have a lot of young guys on the team, and we're pretty excited to host a second round. But you know, we played pretty well in the first game. Got to give credit where credit's due. Gordo put the ball in play. They didn't make many mistakes. And they came away with the victory. And the second game, you know, I kind of told the guys before it started that we have nothing to lose. You know, we're in our eyes, we're the underdogs, and we're not supposed to win this series. So make sure when you go out there that you leave it all out in the field and give it everything you got, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And they responded well to that. I thought our energy was awesome the whole seven innings. And that's what it took. It took a whole seven innings to complete a good 3-2 win over a really good Gordo team.
Absolutely. Coach, their left fielder is quite a player, is he not?
Oh, my goodness. It is. He's their leadoff as well, and that man can play. When he gets on base, we have to be very cautious about what we throw, because he can steal in any count, and he's just a playmaker altogether.
Hey, I thought he was a really good player. I'll tell you what, we had some guys who played pretty well last night. Robert Rocando had a pretty good series. Both games played pretty well. I think Robert, a sophomore, or is he a freshman?
Robert's a sophomore.
He's having a really good season. He's hitting the ball pretty well, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. Robert has come leaps and bounds from his freshman year to sophomore year. His freshman year, he was just trying to feel it out, you know, understand how to play varsity baseball. And he really took control of the reins this year and decided he wanted to be our three-hole guy. And he's done nothing but exceed our expectations.
Now I have a quick question for you. What kind of advice has your dad, Brother Bina Brown, given you not only today but this entire season?
Oh, he just said, just enjoy the moment. You know, don't take it a day for granted, because you know you never know when your last day could be. And just enjoy being out here with the guys, and enjoy the bonds that you're creating with the kids, and that understand that, you know, it, there's way more things bigger than baseball, and just enjoy the moment. Don't, you know, try to do something you're not capable of doing. Just do your job.
You know, Troy comes from a long line of school folks. His mom's worked in schools all of her life, practically. His grandfather is a retired high school principal, and so Troy, you've got a pretty neat lineage in academics and athletics, pal.
No, I do. It's good to hear the old stories that my grandfather tells me. He tells me about the Fairhope days and all the stuff they had to go through. And my mom, man, she's been a huge support, because I mean, she's a coach as well.
Yep.
And that's where I go to a lot of the times to talk strategy, because she's been around the game so much. I couldn't ask for a better mother, really.
Well, you're blessed.
He is coaching, because that's where we learn.
Yeah.
That's where I learned. That's where you learned. Yeah. That's where we learn when we talk to folks. Man, if you got them in your family, man, that's an awesome thing, because they've been there. They've done that. And it just helps you. And I think that's some great advice I gave you about enjoying the moment. And there was a couple of moments last night you probably enjoyed, especially that seventh inning.
Oh, you know, I told a lot of the guys that I about blew it for us. I about lost the game for us, but they found a way to win. And I think with having such a young team, we do such a great job in close situations to not let the moment get too big. And that's a lot of effort and a lot of grit that we've worked on this whole year, just to make sure that we understand that it doesn't matter what the score is, we got to keep playing.
That's right. You know, and one, I give a shout out to Lewis Allday in his seventh inning. He pitched a couple innings, but that seventh inning when he came in and finished that game off, that was pretty impressive.
Lucas has been our horse the whole year. You know, he last year he was ineligible. He moved in, and it took a toll on him. Not being able to play, but he's starting to get his feet underneath them, and he's started to want to be that guy who wants the ball when the game's on the line.
Didn't he strike out the side in the bottom of the seventh?
Yes, he did. It was Collins Terry threw a great four innings, and then we brought Lucas in, and he shut the door down, and it was awesome just to give us another chance for today.
And Collins Terry is a ninth grader.
He is. Yes, we have a bunch of ninth graders.
Yep.
And tell everybody what time that first pitch is today, so everybody can go out and support Bayside Academy.
We start at 12 o'clock on the dot.
Well, buddy, we wish you the best of luck. I'll be out there in a little while to see you, and y'all just get ready to go get them.
I appreciate it, Coach. Thank y'all for having me on again.
Take care, Troy. That's Troy Brown, the head baseball coach at Bayside. They'll play the IF game today at noon against
Gordo. Yeah, man,
Gordo.
That's going to be quite – and Gordo's got a really – I'll tell you what. And you can say what you want to about small-town schools and what have you. Last night, Gordo had a crowd at Bayside Academy Complex. There was a lot of people there. They were very, very vocal. You know, Gordo's one of those towns, Rick, you know, loves their school.
Ain't no doubt.
They love it, and they support it all the way through.
Who's the probably one of the most notable alumni of Gordo High School? Former head coach at Troy, former quarterback coach and receiver coach at Auburn University, head coach at Troy, Larry Blakeney.
I didn't know he went to Gordo.
I had no idea about that.
I learned something today.
Sure did. You learn it. Keep hanging around.
Hey, I will.
Hey, you want to catch a great golf show? Tomorrow from 11 to 1, you can catch our buddy Randy Bergen and former University of Alabama golfer Danny Spivey, and they've even added some beauty to those two beasts, I can promise you that. They've got a young lady. they have really added some beauty to it, and of course she will give you all the ups, the tips that you need to keep yourself in great condition. And boy, I tell you, it's a great, great golf show. They cover every golf, every level of golf.
Yes,
they go
did.
From junior golf to high school golf to the mini tours to the PGA to the LPGA. And those two guys know the game. They love the game. They both play the game very well. And that's Randy Bergen, Danny Spivey. Those guys will be on from 11 to 1 on Southern Fairways. You can catch it right here on FM Talk 106.5 WYAA out of Sylacauga, the lake, out of Montgomery, the river region there in Alexander City. You can catch it down in Destin. You can catch it all over the Northwest Florida. It's a great, great golf show. Those guys do a great job with that.
I want to throw out at Timber Creek today. There's a big, big tournament out there today.
I didn't know that.
Coach Lefford was telling me about it this morning. It's Oilman.
Oh, the Oilman is a big tournament. Yeah, that's one of the bigger tournaments.
You can't even get in and out of Timber Creek.
Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, it is a huge tournament. They give great gifts, great prizes, and it's one of the – my friend Randy Billingsley used to be part of that, and, boy, I tell you, it was one that he looked forward to every single year. And so, yeah, that's a great one. That is a really, really good golf tournament. You can catch all the news about golf tomorrow on Southern Fairways with Randy and Danny from 11 to 1.
Don't forget Shanice McKinney-Sims, new associate head girls basketball coach at Mobile Christian. Robertsdale has hired a new football coach. I know after the great segment, we may touch on that momentarily. And just a lot of action going on in high school sports. No offseason, 52 weeks out of the year for the Prep Sports Report.
We'll be back with more PSR on Radio Alabama and the Prep Sports Radio Network.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rappahoke, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
This morning I want to hit on something that kind of is important, I think, really to seniors in high school. It's important to everyone, but as seniors in high school, it comes to a point in their life where they start making decisions and choices and thinking about what they're going to do. But the greatest thing about it is that there's always possibilities, and there's going to be defeats in it, and there's going to be setbacks, but there's always a possibility. And there's always some things that you got to learn along the way. I had to learn, too, and unfortunately for me, sometimes I didn't learn until I was too old, Rick. You know, I wish that I'd learned it when I was a lot younger. But when striving to reach a goal, don't let limitations define you. Use them as opportunities to push beyond your comfort zone. The way that you'll find creative solutions, become better acquainted with your inner strength, and that inner strength defines how you tackle hurdles in your life. In July 2016, issue guidepost Brian Anderson, an Iraq war veteran, told his story of overcoming the biggest battle he had ever faced at the age of 20. Brian enlisted in the Army and was shipped out on September 11, 2001. Towards the end of his second tour, he was behind the wheel of a Humvee in Baghdad when a roadside bomb went off. As a result, Brian lost his left hand and both legs. Several days later, Brian woke up in Bethesda,
Maryland,
at the Walter Reed Medical Center with his mother by his side. It was in that hospital that his mother said the words that defined the course for the rest of his life. When she said, "You know, you basically have two options here, right?" He responded, "Yes, ma'am." "The two options are you can move on or you can roll over and die. And you're going to do which?" To which he replied, "Move on." While in physical therapy, Brian noticed that the patients who were making progress were the ones who accepted their injuries and worked hard to move forward. From the start, Brian pushed himself. He refused to let his injury prevent him from living life. The process of learning to use his prosthesis was long and difficult, but his mother and friends were there to encourage him. Today, Brian lives a fulfilling life. He is a motivational speaker. In his free times, he loves to snowboard, skateboard, and enjoy time on his motorcycle. Brian's story is a powerful reminder that we, too, can overcome our limitations. our limitations are only set by us. We set them. And I just, you know, in my life, thank goodness that, you know, I have a place I can turn to when things get dark. There's always a light in prayer. And there's always that light that comes to the forefront when I pray and I know where I have to go. And it tells me everything, anything is possible in this world we live in. So long as you keep your put one foot in front of the other, there's always hope.
You know, when we lose hope, we lose everything.
Everything.
We lose everything, and that's one of the things that, as you see so many successful people who have who've had difficulty in their life, have faced the valleys of life, and they've also seen the mountaintops, but they've had to work mighty hard to get back to the mountaintops because they never gave up hope. And so many stories can be told about so many, not only athletes, but people who've run successful businesses in America. And, Mark, that's very telling this morning, what you had to say. And Corey brought up a great thing before the break. There's a lot of things going on in high school athletics right now. This is a time, a lot of movements going on. But there's something I don't want us to forget this morning. The Alabama Sports Hall of Fame will induct the class of 2019 tonight in Birmingham, Alabama. And that group of men includes someone who is very near and dear to us here in high school sports in the state of Alabama. Steve Savarese will be inducted in the State of Alabama Sports Hall of Fame tonight in Birmingham at the in the Birmingham Ballroom at the Sheraton Birmingham Hotel. And what a tremendous, tremendous honor that is for Steve. He'll be inducted with Tommy Agee, the Maplesville High School running back who went on to play for the Seattle team in the NFL, played, of course, at Auburn University. Another dear friend of ours, Bill Burgess, who longtime head football coach at Oxford High School, later went on and won a national championship at Jacksonville State University. A track star, Willie Davenport. A local Mobile native, Louis Gonzalez, not a native of Mobile, but a South Alabama alumni who went on and had a great career in professional ball. Bud Moore, former football coach at Alabama, was at one time the head football coach at the University of Kansas, was a longtime staff member of the late Coach Paul Bear Bryant's staff. Antonio Langham, who probably made one of the greatest plays in the history of the University of Alabama. And Corey, I bet you don't remember what happened on that one, do you?
I don't think he was playing the Miami Hurricanes.
No, he was playing in Miami. Oh, he was.
Or maybe, you know, the Florida Gators. I don't know. Some kind of big play.
He was playing Miami.
I don't know.
He was playing Miami when he took the ball away from the receiver.
That was
didn't
George
he?
Teague.
That was George Teague?
Antonio made the pick against Florida. Shane
right.
Matthews
yeah.
was the quarterback.
There you go.
Pick six, won the ball game for Alabama in the SEC. I think it was the first SEC championship game held in Legion Field.
And Antonio Langham, is he from Town Creek? Is he one of those guys from up there?
No, I don't think so.
Hazelwood? Where is Antonio Langham from? That's a good question. Corey, I can't believe you don't know that. We need to get Scooter on.
Scooter would know.
He is from Town Creek.
Is he?
He is from Town Creek,
I didn't
Alabama.
Know.
Played at Alabama where he was a three-year starter at cornerback. He holds a record with 19 career interceptions. He was recognized as consensus first-team All-American his junior year, as well as his senior year, and he won the Jim Thorpe Award and the Jack Tatum Trophy. Great player, but you're right, he was against Florida, and George Teague out of Jeff Davis High School in Montgomery is the one that took the ball away from the Miami Hurricane
stripped
receiver.
Stripped it, yeah.
That's exactly right. But Steve Savarese will be inducted tonight along with these wonderful, wonderful men. Catherine Reddick-Whitehill, a soccer player out of Richmond, Virginia, played at Briarwood High School in Birmingham, Christian School in Birmingham, and then went to the University of North Carolina. Some wonderful, wonderful people who've accomplished a lot, not only in athletics, but in life. And congratulations to those inductees tonight. And it's really special for those of us involved with high school athletics to see Bill Burgess and Steve Savarese inducted into that wonderful group of people. And congratulations to one of the great South Alabama baseball players, Louis Gonzalez, who gave so much to that community out with the Arizona Diamondbacks and considered to be one of the really most respected former Arizona Diamondbacks in their organization. Just a wonderful, wonderful young man. Mark, Corey, I know you've got a lot going on. Anything in particular today? We got baseball. We got some lacrosse going on this weekend. Anything else?
No, just go out and support your local high school baseball. You just mentioned it, 12 o'clock, have an opportunity to see Bayside. Also, Mobile Christian taking the mound today. So, a beautiful day of weather to support high school athletics.
Fairhope's over at Baker today. Another big baseball game. Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff.
A lot of good things going on.
All right, remember, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, same time next week, right here on PSR and Radio Alabama.